Good evening. Well, I guess I'm supposed to use this, so I will try to do that. Let's begin with prayer. Our God and our Father, we give thanks for this opportunity tonight to be here, to have time this week to be set aside, to consider the Word of God. And we pray for our time tonight as we endeavor to consider some practical things about our walk. We pray that we would not quench the Holy Spirit, but that we would have listening hearts and listening ears. And so we pray for your help, and we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, well, this will be a talk given from an iPhone. Pardon me for that. A verse I'd like to start with and really base my talk on is Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. And it's a verse I've pondered over the years. Romans 8 and verse 6. I'll read it. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I've been intrigued with this verse because the Apostle Paul is setting before us two ways that our mind can work. We can be carnally minded, which will put to death the spiritual life within us, or we can be spiritually minded and have life and peace. Two ways. And there's really no gray areas in those two realities. So I trust that what I say tonight about this will complement what our brother Steve shared and also what's been said before this week. I've also been intrigued with the promise there of life and peace. That's the benefit, the blessing that comes from being spiritually minded. And don't we all want that, to have life and peace? Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's in John 10:10. And I will be reading some scripture verses, and for the sake of time, you're welcome to turn to them, but I'll just read them. So Jesus has come that we might have abundant life. But I know from my own personal experience that many times we as Christians in our practical lives are not enjoying abundant life. We're not enjoying that life and that peace that the Apostle Paul talked to us about. You know, I see a lot of young people here. I remember as a younger Christian having many worries and concerns about my life. And at times, you know, that took me into places where I lost my trust, my faith. I didn't have the joy that I should have. There's a lot of things to think about when we're young. And even as an older believer, it doesn't take me much to get frustrated with the things in my life that aren't going the way that I think that they should be going. And it's very easy for me to become overtaken with the cares and concerns of this world. Well, I would submit, first of all, to myself, and then to you, that when we lose that sense of life and peace, we are momentarily out of our spiritual minds. We've lost that sense of being spiritually minded. And I know that positionally, we cannot lose our salvation. We cannot lose our spiritual nature. We are always God's children if we are saved. We can't lose that. But we can temporarily, or unfortunately it can go on for quite some time, we can lose that spiritual state of mind. We can lose that reality of being spiritually minded, as Paul talks about. And so tonight I want to take just a few minutes to talk about four principles for maintaining our spiritual mind, or for getting it back if we've lost it. Because in a room of this size, chances are there's somebody here struggling to maintain a spiritual mind, or distracted or discouraged or concerned about something. So I want to talk about four principles. And the first principle is we must have absolute faith in the sovereignty of God. Absolute faith in the sovereignty of God. And you know, that is one of the easiest things to agree to in a meeting like this, right? We're here, probably had a good day, had some fun. And it's easy to sit here and nod our heads and say, yes, I believe that every circumstance of my life is under God's control. And He's working out everything for my good and for my blessing and for His glory. That's the most important thing. It's easy to be here tonight and to believe that. But you know, as soon as something goes wrong in our lives, I know from personal experience, it can be very, very easy to lose that sense of God's sovereignty over my life. And typically when something goes wrong, and I'm not talking about, you know, pinching a finger or something like that, but when something really seems kind of messed up with life, two things happen. We think God has forgotten me, or is overlooking me, or doesn't like me, or is punishing me, or something like that. And we think, what do I need to do to get out of this situation? What do I need to do? And that can be healthy that we look at ourselves, but we want to take control. We want to get out of the situation or fix the situation. And so it's very easy to lose that sense that God is completely over our circumstances. And I didn't have time to look at some verses that speak of God's sovereignty, but there's one that I go back to in my own life many times, and that is Psalm 18:30. As for God, His way is perfect. And anyone who's heard me talk before has probably heard me quote that verse. As for God, His way is perfect. His ways in our lives are perfect according to His plan, according to His perfect will for us. There's another verse, too, that came to mind, and that is in Revelation 17, chapter 17 and verse 17. And that's a chapter that's speaking of, and perhaps we should turn there so I don't misspeak, but speaking of some very evil beings that are on the earth at that time. The woman and the beast. But Revelation 17:17 says, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will. Those terribly wicked and evil creatures, or whatever you want to call them, that are on the earth at that time, it says God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will. And so we know the circumstances of our lives, the circumstances of this world, are in His hands. They are under His control. And so whatever happens to us, you know, things happen that can be caused by our sin, can be caused by other people's sin. There may even be satanic opposition in our lives. But if we can hold on to that belief that God is over it all, it helps us maintain that spiritual mind that Paul is talking about. Well, the second principle is connected to this, or follows from this. Second principle for being spiritually minded is prepare for battle. Prepare for battle.
Expect it. Expect battle. In Acts 14:22, Luke is speaking of the work of Paul and those who were with him and how they exhorted the people. And they said, "We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Did you hear that? We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. It's not easy. Being a Christian is not easy. And moving forward in life and fully enjoying the kingdom of God is going to involve tribulation. You know, that's not what we want to hear when we're young. And hopefully those who are young are more mature than I was when I was your age. But I think really, I had this idea that if I, you know, was a good Christian, that that'd kind of be my pass from suffering, and I could kind of get around it. Wouldn't have to deal with too much difficulty in life. But you know, life is difficult. And God intends it that way, to refine us and to make us more like His Son. There's another verse that's related to that, this idea of being in battle, and that's Galatians 5:24. It says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." So for Christ, we're in the business of crucifying our flesh with the affections and lusts. And you know, God will use the circumstances of our lives to bring us face to face with the ugliest parts of ourselves. He will bring ourselves right up in front of us so that we can see our flesh and what's wrong. See those things of us that are still wiggling on the cross and that need to be fully crucified. And so accepting this reality that we need to prepare for battle, that life is a battle, that we have work to do, hard work to do, to crucify our flesh. Understanding this helps us maintain a spiritual mindset when we go through life and things aren't going exactly the way that we wish they would go. Well, there's a third principle as well that I believe can help us maintain to be spiritually minded. And that is, never forget your citizenship. Never forget your citizenship. You know, when you travel to a different country, you carry a passport. And everywhere you go, that passport identifies you as an American or as a Canadian, whatever the case may be. And you know, I think you could be in the deepest of deep sleeps, and a policeman could come to your hotel room and knock on the door and shake you and say, "Where are you from?" And you would say, I'm an American, or I'm Canadian. It's just so ingrained in you. That's who you are. That's your citizenship here on earth. But we need to have that same sense of our heavenly citizenship as well. And there's a verse I'd like to look at in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, "For our conversation," and in the New King James it says citizenship. So I'll read it that way. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is in heaven. We are heavenly people if we have been saved. And that means that we will of necessity be different from those around us in the world. We will have to go a different path. We cannot do the things that we see other people do, because we are citizens of heaven and not of this world. You know, a citizen a citizen of this world, how does he or she act? In their interactions, typically they're seeking their advantage, right? In business, in life, they're seeking their advantage. They may be very nice about it, but they want to get what they deserve. What about in relationships with the opposite sex? Especially true of young people, but of any age. A citizen of the world seeks pleasure, seeks to get what they want, whether or not it may be God's mind. They seek to get what they want. A citizen of the world says, well, this is who I am. This is who I am. I have to do what makes me happy. I don't really have any other choice. That's what a citizen of the world thinks. And you know, that is normal according to the flesh, right? If all that we have is that we are born and that we die, and that all that we have is what happens in between those two milestones, if that's true, we need to make it as enjoyable and make it as good for ourselves as possible, if that's really all we have. But you know, as citizens of heaven, we know that this life is temporary, and what we have to come is eternal. That's reality. And so a citizen of heaven lives for Christ and for others. A citizen of heaven honors godly standards in relationships with the opposite sex. A citizen of heaven lives for the honor and glory of God. It's not normal from the earth's perspective, but it is normal according to our citizenship in heaven. And you know, when we see Christians falling into ongoing habitual sin, we can surmise that they forgot their citizenship. They've got caught up in worldly thinking about, I got to get what I need to get. And so I speak to myself. But remembering our citizenship is key to being spiritually minded. Well, I have one more principle to cover, and I'm sure there are others. These were just some that I could think of this evening. But the fourth principle is to rest in who you are as a son or daughter of God. Rest in who you are as a son or daughter of God. It's a verse in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 21 and 22, or a portion I'd like to read. It says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." That is our destiny. That is what we're headed for. And that's how we're seen positionally even now, as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. And there's so many other verses that we could look at that talk to us about who we are in Christ and what our inheritance is and what we have before us. And if we can meditate on that and be formed by that, We'll maintain that spiritual mindset that's so important for life and for peace. But there's one more verse I'd like to close with, and that is Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Luke 12, 32. It's Jesus speaking, and he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And as I look at
out across this room and I see Rob over there and Matt right here and my wife over there and others, what a marvel to consider that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And that's what we have it now in part, but we'll have it someday in whole. And that's what's before us. And so I trust that these four principles, and as I said, I'm sure there are others, will help us maintain that spiritual mindset, to be spiritually minded, which is life and peace.
All right, let's close, and we'll give thanks for the refreshments as well. Our God and Father, we thank you for this time that we had this evening to consider these things, and we thank you for what you have before us, and help us to pray to be spiritually minded. And so we give thanks, too, now for the refreshments that we will enjoy, the hands that have prepared them, and for all your many, many blessings, we commit the remainder of this time of camp into your care. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.